Good morning. We're entering the home stretch through the Heidelberg Catechism here. I plan to cover questions 120 and 121 along with a bonus question this morning that I inserted in. Question number 120, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? And the answer is, at the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God our Father will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. And in support of this, it cites Matthew 7, 9 through 11, which reads, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" I believe that there is a tension here that referring to God as our Father should create in each of us. While many people may not have had a godly father here on earth, one should be able to approach your Father knowing that you are loved and accepted, but also with respect for his position as your Father. To overemphasize familiarity with God can run the risk of leading to irreverence. To overemphasize God's authority can run the risk of becoming empty ritual without any feeling. The choice of calling God our Father is the perfect balance of those ends of the spectrum. Bonus question 120.5. Our version here, which is quoted in the Heidelberg Catechism, is from the NIV. It's also the way it reads in the ESV. This phrase reads as a whole, "Our Father in heaven." But other translations that most adults here probably learned as a child state, "Our Father who art in heaven," from the King James, or "Our Father who is in heaven," from the NAS. So what's the deal, and does it even matter? I did not do any extensive research into the particular question. It may have to do with which Greek manuscripts were used for the various translations, or perhaps different certain liberties some translators took, or maybe something with the Greek grammar that I don't understand. However, I do believe there is something very important in those words, "who art," or "who is," that adds depth to this text. There are probably many here today that know what a prepositional phrase is. I recall learning that you can usually remove the prepositional phrase from a text and not really change the meaning of the text, that the prepositional phrase often acts like an adjective or an adverb in enhancing the main point of the sentence. For instance, "we won the game in overtime" can be shortened to simply say, "we won the game," without necessarily changing the meaning of the sentence. If we apply that to "our Father who is in heaven," when we remove the prepositional phrase "in heaven," this obviously leaves us with "our Father who is." Isn't that a great reminder that we are praying to the living God? We are invited to pray to God, to the God who told Moses in Exodus 3 to call him "I am." He is the one and only true and living God. This is the one we are to address as our Father. The idea of calling God our Father should be both encouraging and humbling. The omnipotent, omniscient, holy God wants us to call him our Father. So question 121 reads, why the words "in heaven"? And the Heidelberg answer is, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from his almighty power. And in support, it's got Acts 17, 24 through 25. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Now I'm going to go in just a slightly different direction the answer given by the Catechism at this point. I think that something its answer is greatly missing is the majesty of heaven itself. When I see the words "our Father who is in heaven," I think of passages like Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. I think of God as king upon his throne, surrounded by the heavenly hosts who are repeatedly saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." It is this God, the one and only living God who is, that we are to pray to. Is this God, the one and only reigning King who is in heaven, surrounded by his glory, that we are to pray to? Is this God, the very God of all creation, that Jesus invites us to call our Father. Let us pray. Father, when we think of the implications of just a single line of your word, it should both humble and amaze us. Our Father who is in heaven, what a blessing it is to know that we can come before the living God who reigns in heaven as we would a loving father here on earth. Help us to properly balance our reverence and our familiarity with you. May you be glorified by our attitude toward you when we approach you in prayer. Amen.